Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's Jeff Sherman.
Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Friday. Bringing together two amazing people today, Beth Riley, Ridley and Greg Marshall. A fun, spirited show coming around work, life, and marketing. Greg has led hundreds of organizations nationwide through brand and messaging in alignment. He's the chief storyteller at CI Design. Beth is president and CEO of Ridley Consulting Group, a corporate inclusion and culture expert. You know, we think about kind of what we stand for, what we promise to do, how we treat one another, how we package and promote and position our brands and our companies, how we show up to work in each and every day. Not easy questions to answer, but a whole lot easier when you're talking to good, smart people like Beth and Greg. So we get to work today, Beth Ridley, and everyone's talking about the debate. What are your suggestions for conversations around politics in the workplace?
I get this question a lot, of course, as the political season is heating up. And here's my short answer. Just don't do it. I really do mean that. You know, like, it's divisive. And unless you've done some groundwork in your organization around how to respect differences, how to create a culture of understanding, even if you don't agree, which, you know, I think it's an ongoing conversation that people, you know, have to appreciate some new skills in order how to do that at work. Politics is probably not the one that you want to start with. So honestly, I just say stick with sports and weather for the moment.
Okay. That's even when it's safer. A big national event that happened last night that's on everyone's minds. And even if you didn't watch it live.
Yeah.
You're probably getting tidbits in your feed and you're like, whoa, that happened?
Yeah.
And you want and need a way to express that.
So here's a strategy that I use. If it's any type of like big national news or just local news, something that's big that you know is on people's mind and you know they're not showing up at work like ready to talk about work. Mm-hmm. At the start of the meeting, and this is just a good practice no matter what, I always say let's just take 30 seconds to center ourselves, focus ourselves, think about how we're going to show up at this meeting. Let go whatever was you were thinking about before sitting down. Don't worry about what's coming ahead. And that's a way to kind of respect. People are processing things differently. We don't know what's going on in people's lives, but we want people to feel present. I actually started doing that after October 7th when the war between Hamas and Israel broke out. I knew people in my team, different religions, had different ethnicities, and, you know, family members were processing it differently. I didn't know, and I didn't want to misstep. And I also didn't want to assume everything is fine, show up. So I started doing that, and people really appreciate it. They use that time to just kind of, like, center themselves no matter what's going on. And then we can focus on work without sort of ignoring the elephant in the room, but also just acknowledging in a way that's respectful for everybody.
Respect and professionalism should rule the day for sure. Mm-hmm. Greg, what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously having clear policies.
Yeah.
Help.
I say go for it, because I mean I actually agree with you, Beth, but I also say go for it because I think it's good practice, but I think it's you got to be intentional about I'm going to talk about this as a way of practicing respecting somebody else and learning from somebody else's perspective. And I think a big mistake that a lot of us make as humans is we assume the fate of the nation and the world is on this conversation. And if I don't convince this person that they're wrong, everything's going to fall apart. Like, that's what happens in our emotions. And I think if we're willing to practice diffusing that lie and remembering that this is a conversation with another human being who disagrees with me, and I can practice respecting them, practice even learning from them. And it might be hard. I might need to step away. But I don't know. I think it's okay to practice it. But I also think, like, the way that I would talk about it is I would probably say, like, crack little jokes that everybody can kind of agree on. And that might offend everybody.
But that's the problem.
Yeah, that opens up another box.
We all assume people think the way that we do, and we don't. And so default is we're right, and now I'm not listening and seeking to understand. Yeah. I'm arguing my point.
100%.
I just don't think that unless you've done the foundation, people aren't showing up at work like that.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I still in my mind, the humorous part of my brain, I think this is a great moment for Americans to come together on the fact that this is a weird moment, you know?
It is.
You watch that debate. Like, who can watch that debate and not think, this is weird. This is strange. And so I do think there's an opportunity to come together, but it's risky. I understand it's risky because, you know, there's a lot of really strong emotions and fears attached to it.
I'll meet you on that at 4 p.m. on a Friday when you can, like, leave work behind. And then if it's a disaster, you've got the weekend to recover.
Okay.
Very good. Handling tough conversations around politics and more in the office. This is The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. We'll be right back after this break.
On the tree tonight, and a leaf on the tree tonight.
Weekend number two of Summerfest. Friday tonight. Be there. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be seeing Keith Urban, so join me there at the American Family Amphitheater for Keith Urban tomorrow night. That's Saturday. So from the WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. Sure wish our political people running for office were not allowed to criticize their opponents. Instead, had to simply tell us what they would do to fix the problems in the state, in the cities, and in the country. A good kind of wrap-up summary on our conversation around politics in the workplace. So, two up on the upswing in the news yesterday. Walgreens said, you know, without specifying the number of closures that the pharmacy chain operator would be finalizing a significant multi-year program to shut down and close more than 8,700 stores. And that's the firm's review looking at their last quarter and U.S. locations. The company also noted that 100% of its profits come from 75% of its stores. And they're going to look at the other 25% to see which ones could close down. Last December in the city of Milwaukee, the Walgreens closed three locations. What impact business-wise and community-wise would you see on further closures in the area, Greg?
Yeah, I remember when my family, we were living on the north side of Milwaukee, and we had a Walgreens nearby, and there was some struggles in our community, but that Walgreens was sort of a symbol of this is a good thing, it's a staple, and when it closed down, it felt like a loss. It felt like an emotional loss, and that, you know, being in business, I recognize that if it's not working, it's not working. Like, they haven't figured out how to make it profitable in the economy where you get deliveries and all that. And so, yeah, you're going to have to close some stores. But from a community standpoint, it does feel like an emotional loss when a store is shut down.
Yeah, the CEO did mention that they're going to be cognizant of not creating the burden around pharmacy deserts, right? You know, areas that don't have access to community-based pharmacies. I mean, like you said, it's truly important, not only for the convenience items, but for the medical necessities that people need in their day-to-day lives. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. I think having a Walgreens and easy access to convenient drugs and convenient items is truly important wherever we live. So let's keep an eye on what Walgreens is doing. Next, on the two up, Harley-Davidson job cuts, but a new park that's really renovating the near west side right on 37th and Juneau. So the Milwaukee Business Journal reporting yesterday that Harley-Davidson has initiated a headcount reduction in what it called organizational adjustments, could impact about 150 employees. At the same time, this week, either one of you been to the new Harley-Davidson park, or have you seen what they're doing there?
I've seen pictures.
It's absolutely stunning. Kind of like remade parking lot, this whole like 4-acre parking lot land just south of the company's 3700 West Juneau Avenue building, soulful green space. Just, it's like an amphitheater setting, little bar that Molson Coolers is sponsoring. How do you see that the company activating that space in light of kind of maybe economic headwinds coming?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great opportunity to engage with the community differently. I think it's a win-win. Like, how awesome for Milwaukee. And there's so many ways to activate that space by bringing in partners and collaborations. And at the same time, I think it sort of presents Harley in a new way. Maybe it gives some new ideas, some new energy of how people relate to the brand that can help them reinvent themselves going in the future to overcome some of the financial challenges that they've been having.
Yeah, without a doubt. And they're going to move the Harley-Davidson factory racing team back to where it all began in their historic location. So they're going to reinvest in terms of employees. But at the same time, they're looking at some cutbacks, which people could see like, ooh, the foundation's putting all this money into a park, but at the same time, they're cutting jobs.
Yeah, that's hard, too, because, you know, from the outside perspective, that it is easy to say, like, wait, you're taking these people's jobs away so you can pay for a park, but those are two totally different economies and two totally separate decisions, but it is hard, you know, anytime jobs are cut. But yeah, I mean, hopefully doing things in the community, continuing to build the Harley-Davidson brand, and being valuable to the community in many ways helps them to create a stronger business that enables those 150 jobs to come back. But yeah, both things are hard and necessary to invest in the community, but also make business decisions that make you more sustainable. And I don't know the whole story behind the 150 jobs, but in general, you know, I get why both of those things can exist, and I understand why that would frustrate people too.
Very good.
And I'm curious if those jobs are a prelude to other jobs as we automate technology and we're going to see more of that.
Right. But creating, you know, beautiful green spaces and the amphitheater type setting it has created could further engage employees to want to work there and, you know, activate a neighborhood that needs continued activation. So yeah, it's important what the company's doing from a big picture standpoint. Obviously, the homecoming coming up later this summer, too. So it'll be good to keep an eye on what Harley-Davidson's doing, and I'm really excited to see how they program that space. I think it could be a really good mix of local and national, and it can be a gathering space for everyone.
Long-term, good move for them.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah. I hope that they use it in part to celebrate other venues that are trying to do good things but don't have a big audience yet. Like, for example, like nearby, there's a project called The New State that's redoing a theater. And maybe, you know, maybe there's a partnership where they have an event, they know they can draw people, and then celebrate that other theater over there, or celebrate, like look for ways to pump life into the neighborhood.
All right. Is Midwest and Milwaukee Nice a thing? Up next, this is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Beth Ridley, Greg Marshall join us today. So, Beth, a couple days ago I had someone say to me, Jeff, you know what? You're just being too nice around this topic. You know, you got to give some more firm feedback, and you got to really bring your opinion 100%. I'm like, well, this is how I feel. This is okay. Like, Midwest and Milwaukee Nice, is that a good thing for the corporate culture?
I'm going to say I don't even know it's a thing. Okay, I know we have this brand about Midwest Nice. I've worked in the Midwest. I've worked in all parts of the country, mostly in New York City, where people are accused of not being nice, and I thought people were very nice. Hmm. Southerners have a reputation for being nice. So I think people at work are kind of nice-ish, but it really comes down to no one likes to give critical feedback or hard feedback. So I think it's just human nature. We might have branded it as Midwest Nice, but I think most managers and workplace cultures, it's something that they have to work hard on and they struggle with, because generally people just don't like to do that. So I think we don't over-rotate necessarily in the Midwest, but it's just a problem across the boards.
So, Greg, is there a difference between kind and nice? You see a lot of thought leadership from CEOs now around kindness. And I think that's generally a good thing, but
yeah, I don't
know.
Is
that the same as being too nice?
Maybe nice is more of a superficial treat the person in a way that doesn't do any harm, and kindness is more of actually see them as a human, care about how they're doing, wonder about their perspective, just to be more invested. But I kind of feel like what you're saying, Beth, maybe each region of the country has their own brand of resisting feedback, and we just call ours Midwest Nice, you know, resisting criticism or not wanting to hurt people's feelings. Or But, you know, there are some cultures that are far more direct than our region, I would say. And maybe that's part of it. But, yeah, I think it's evolving. I think everything's evolving in like with social media, with how interconnected everything is. Yeah, it might be changing.
Beth, do you think there's a difference in the Midwest on access? Like, I have felt like, I mean, I've only lived in greater Milwaukee, but spent a ton of time in Chicago. I feel like generally in greater Milwaukee, you can get access on any level with persistence. Is that the same in any marketplace, or is there a little bit of a difference because we're a smaller community here?
I do notice that because I think we're a smaller community. Again, living in New York City, like, how do I get access to the mayor? When I was there, it was Bloomberg. Right. But I had immediate access to our mayor here because it is a smaller community. And I think that goes with smaller companies. You would have more access to the CEO than a big company. You know, like, they have gatekeepers around them. And I love the access. I think people appreciate the access.
Yeah, very much so. What about, Greg, in terms of professional and personal voice when you're reaching out? Is there a difference there in terms of how you want to communicate?
It always depends on the context, but I think personally, I had to learn that my personal voice, I'm very open, I'm willing to be vulnerable about something I'm struggling with or whatever. And so I've had to kind of learn that it's just not appropriate to be totally transparent about how you're thinking and feeling because it doesn't serve the situation well. So I've definitely had to mature, but it has less to do with changing professional versus personal. It's just maturing and knowing how to be present in a way that's honest and beneficial to that moment. Sometimes that's direct feedback and sometimes that's holding back. And I think it just depends on the moment and what's wise to serve that moment.
All right. Very good. Leadership and mental health coming up next. But first, welcome back to the Friday Upswing Show. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today by Greg Marshall, Beth Ridley. A lively, entertaining discussion around workplace issues the day after the presidential debate, with the RNC coming to town and more conventions, especially in greater downtown Milwaukee. Just to continue on our Milwaukee Midwest Nice conversation, because I think it's an important business topic. If I'm walking to lunch down the street, should I smile, say hello, and engage with strangers? Is that expected? And as a marketplace, should we do that? Does that increase our civic pride and get more conventions to come to town?
I think we should lock eyes as soon as possible, for as long as possible.
And to always, make ourselves really uncomfortable.
Always say hello to everybody. No, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough because I think that it is nice when people are welcoming. If you notice somebody's struggling with the parking meter, for example, which I always see in the third ward,
yep,
you can tell when it's an outsider that does not know what's going on. Like, hey, you need help with that? I don't know. I think it's important to look for opportunities just to be kind to people.
Yeah, very good. Beth?
You know, I, in the workplace, absolutely. Yeah. And here's why I say that. I do a lot of stay and exit interviews, and people like stay because the culture is great or leave because it's not. And then give me examples. And it's always those small things like, the CEO said hi to me in the elevator, or people say hello to me when I walk through the door, or they don't. And that's why the culture sucks. Mm-hmm. So I think at work, those small little things matter, especially the more senior you are, when people don't have a lot of access to you. And their one brief interaction might be on the elevator. How do they remember who you are? Saying nice and hello and maybe not locking eyes forever, because that can be awkward and weird. But when you pose the question, I don't do that in the community. And I think a lot of it is I'm lost in my own thoughts. I'm absorbed in my own world. And I think that also happens at work. People don't mean to be not nice, but they get absorbed in themselves. And then they're not present with the people around them. Yeah. And they lose that opportunity for connection.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's that if you're out for a run, maybe over the work hour, that jogger's nod when you pass people because you're running and you're locked in. Maybe you have the AirPods in and you're like, all right, I can nod and smile and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I find that there's something important, especially if people are struggling with something or you see like, ooh, they're looking to read this sign, or you see they're looking at their phone and need directions. I always go up to that person and say, hey, can I help you out? And I feel
I don't know. Maybe it's selfish because it makes me feel good.
And it might be gender-based because I think as women, we might be afraid to. So there's that as well. Like, you know, we might want to, but for our own safety, we don't know what the reaction's going to be. And so that might be a hesitation, too.
Okay, yeah. So related to this, how important is it for you to, if you let somebody in traffic, how important in front of you, how important is it that they raise their hand to say thank you when they do that?
It would be appreciated. And I don't think people do it enough. I do it.
Yeah, me too. I feel like
I always do it too. Yeah. A nod or a salute. Or
I feel like it never happens. I'm always looking for it, and I'm like, okay, come on, that was a chance for us
usually
to build a connection.
Usually somebody's giving somebody the finger, and yeah. You know what I mean? And not that, the salute. So,
All right, let's make that an upswing challenge for this weekend. If you let somebody through or pass, just smile and nod and give a high five to that driver. We need it. Coming up after the break, leadership and mental health. June is Mental Health Awareness Month for men. Are leaders doing enough to support their teams and well-being? This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank with Greg Marshall and Beth Ridley.
I'm a woman with love so true. Truth of the matter, I give it to you. You just got to slow down. Quit acting that way.
Tyler Childers, tonight, the headliner at the American Family Amphitheater at Summerfest on Milwaukee's beautiful lakefront. Be there. I heard there's a couple tickets left. Go to summerfest.com and get all the information on Summerfest in weekend number 2. Continuing our conversation around leadership, workplace issues, June is Men's Mental Health Awareness Month. Beth, as leaders and what you're seeing with your clients, you think leaders are doing enough to really support their team's well-being?
I think they're doing more. It is probably the hottest topic among leaders and my clients, and they want to know what they can do, knowing that they're not therapists, and also how to help people without prying so deep in their business. Because they're not mind readers. So we talk about that a lot. And I do think, when people don't feel well or they're thriving or a sense of well-being, it leads to disengagement and absenteeism and it impacts retention and business results. So there is like a direct through line that I think leaders appreciate. So they're talking about it more and they just want to know what can I do knowing that I'm not a trained therapist.
Right. And companies want to create cultures of connection. So it's truly important to allow people, I don't know, to bring at least some of their emotions to the workplace.
Well, to know that they have a safe space where they can talk about it without it being held against them. And I also tell leaders, no one really wants you to solve their problems for you, but sometimes they just want to know that they could be heard and understood. And sometimes just talking about it is the most helpful thing for them to then come to a resolution of, like, how do we better manage this at work?
Yeah. Greg, from a kind of from a messaging standpoint, you know, clear and consistent communications around each one of the awareness months is really important in organizations.
I think it's up to each company has to decide what their content's going to be about. In some companies, we want to focus on the topic that they are an expert in, and they don't want to feel this burden to create content around every theme of every month and every week, donut month, whatever it is, you know. So like it's hard because you have employees who are like, this is the most important thing to me in my life, and the leadership is like, we're just not going to do a special thing for every theme. But I think to what Beth is saying, I think of myself as pretty intuitive in reading how people are doing, but I've been shocked at the level of miss I've had when I thought somebody was fine and really under the surface, they're really struggling. And so I think it is really important for companies to keep initiating the conversation, even to the point of what Beth said about just make an environment where somebody knows that you're actually thinking about them and that can unlock, you know, that person to seek help. But I think this is a really important conversation.
Yeah. Beth, what are some more kind of tips to promote collective learning in this space for companies?
Yeah, so I actually provide leaders with just a guide. So every month there is some themed month that is kind of important. So in May, it was Mental Health Awareness Month across the board. And in the guide, it just has like 3 to 5 really easy questions that you can pose in team meetings to get the conversation going about topics that need to be talked about or understood that just don't naturally come up in work. So for and topics that people can all relate to. So for Mental Health Awareness Month, it might be, how do you know when you feel burned out and need to take a pause? And what do you do to rejuvenate yourself? Or where do you go when you need inspiration? People kind of like to talk about it because there's no wrong or right answer. You share, but you also are really setting the tone of it is okay to be able to express some of these things when you need to. Mm-hmm. We're carving out 10 minutes in a meeting so you know that we're okay with talking about these things and learning and growing from each other. So that's really the point of it.
The business of life, the business of leadership. Greg Marshall, Beth Ridley, join us on The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. Is there a coordination tax at work, and is it wearing us down, especially as we're getting into the summer season? We'll talk about that next after this break.
When we're out in your town, come say hi to us as we broadcast live from the Pueblo Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studio.
Anytime you hear us when we're out on the road, you can find us live from our brand new mobile studio.
Whether it be Summerfest, EAA, Opening Day, Air and Water Show,
wherever we may be, you can see us on the radio, live from the Pueblo Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Mobile Studio.
We are Wisconsin's radio station.
Wisconsin's radio station.
We are Wisconsin's radio station.
We are Wisconsin's radio station.
WTMJ.
Hi, this is WTMJ's Jeff Sherman with a few words about my friends at Horicon Bank. For more than 125 years, Horicon Bank has built a foundation of beneficial relationships with their customers. Now serving the greater Milwaukee area with branches in Wauwatosa, my hometown, New Berlin, Menominee Falls, and Grafton, Horicon Bank is eternally linked to the growth and prosperity of the families and businesses in our community. Together, doing good. That's Horicon Bank's vision for all of your commercial and personal banking needs. Horicon Bank truly is the natural choice. Member FDIC. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Beth Ridley, Greg Marshall join us today. Is there a coordination tax at work, and is it wearing us down? A really interesting story in the Wall Street Journal recently. It started mismatched schedules, wasted commutes, and too many ways to communicate. Getting in sync with coworkers isn't getting any easier. Does getting hold of your coworkers ever feel like a scavenger hunt? Do we see that more in the summertime? Is it harder? And maybe this is a larger corporation issue, if you will, but I've seen this a lot, not only Wall Street Journal, but some other sources, that more people, more teammates are looking, all right, do I only use email? Do I only use Slack? Can I call them on the phone? Can I reach this person via text? Does that kind of ramp up in the summer because maybe we're being a little bit more flexible?
I think probably. And I think, on one hand, it's nice that there are multiple ways that we can communicate with people because people have different preferences and we're meeting their preferences. But it does sort of explode into, this coordination tax, which I never heard of.
Yes.
And I think summer holidays, I think it can complicate things even more.
Yeah. I mean, there's a name for everything, right? You got to label it.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting that all the conversation about the different ways to communicate and the changing norms, what I'm finding is that it's still the best to just be in a room with somebody and talk. There's so many more things you can read. And so I get that there's a lot more people working remotely. There's a lot more hybrid. What I've just been encouraged by is the differentiator is if you're in the room together, you're getting more done, you're advancing more, and you're growing more as a person, I believe. And so, yes, we have to work hard at coordinating all those things, but I'm just kind of keeping my eye on any time that I can connect with somebody in real space, it's going to be the best, and I'll do the other ones too. But I think the trick has been for us as a company is to really value project management. Like, there's got to be people whose job is to help make that stuff happen so that everybody's not burning out.
Yeah. Do you find in the summer, Beth, that kind of self-management comes to head a little bit more, too? And, bosses are empowering employees. Hey, you got to manage yourself because we're going to be a little bit more flexible this summer?
Yeah, I think so. But I also, I think it can be seasonal, but it's also very much generational, right?
So I
think younger people have a different sort of need to respond right away. So I always tell people just talk about those team norms that you want to establish so that there's sort of a shared understanding of what is good behavior. And then I think the expectation is if there is a meeting scheduled in person or virtual, like show up on time. That's probably the one thing that we can all hold ourselves accountable for. So we're not sort of guessing like, oh, are they coming? Are they not coming? Well, let's pause. Let's wait. Let's remember, you know what I mean? So, but it all comes down to communication and a few questions to establish the team norms up front can solve a lot of these problems.
Yeah. Well, if the coordination tax is the name of, you know, figuring out who's messaging from three zones away or four conference rooms away, what's the family planning summer tax, if you will? Are you seeing that in the work world now? Like, whoa, the family schedule is getting a whole lot busier in the summer. How do you best manage it all?
I was kind of laughing about that. Fortunately, my kids are older and they do drive. They can stay home alone. So we just leave. My husband and I just leave. We don't really say too much about it. We're just gone and they'll be fine. There's food in the refrigerator. And if there's not, they know how to call Uber. The liberation that comes with older kids.
All right. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's my wife and I feel a little bit overwhelmed because it's our oldest daughter just graduated high school. It's the last summer before she goes to college, and we want it to be magical. And our youngest is 10, and we want her to have an awesome summer, 16 and 13-year-old in the middle. And so we want to be super engaged and present, but we're also super busy. And so my biggest thought when you asked that question was show grace to each other at work, because it can be really hard to be so busy, and there's so many family things happening. And it's fun to talk about all the things that are happening, but yeah, it's a challenge to balance it all right now.
Yeah, I mean, if we can all better appreciate the journey to happiness to make life and work a little bit more beautiful and meaningful, that's a good thing for all of us, especially in the great Milwaukee summer season and across the entire state of Wisconsin. Beth Ridley, Greg Marshall, thanks for taking time this morning. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll do it again in a couple weeks. How about?
Thank you.
Awesome.
You too.